The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Astamai, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Public comment, public opinion, your chance to have your say on Manx Radio. Text 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. WhatsApp 166 177. Call 66 13 68. Quite a bit of comment knocking around. I'm not a big one for social media, but quite a bit of comment on social media talking about the price of hospitality, certainly up at the grandstand at the moment in TT 2024. We chatted about it over the past couple of days. Obviously, the motorsport people inside economic development in the Department for Enterprise are charging rents. Obviously, they're charging rents for people to pitch and sell their wares. And obviously, if you're charging quite a bit of rent, somebody's going to have to put that burger up in price. So if you've got any thoughts on this, if you've been up at the grandstand, if you enjoyed practicing last night, plenty of it as well, then by all means get in touch. And what do you think of TT so far? Talking about diesel yesterday and the price of diesel on the Isle of Man, 147.9p per litre, says Malcolm, and the diesel on the Isle of Man has just dropped then, 147.9p, or it was 147 in Ramsey, so we'll see. Thanks also to John, who just said we were talking about Summerland yesterday and what to do with it, and whether or not there should be a memorial, what size that memorial should be. And the other, it's taken a long time, although the Summerland Memorial, I think it was Mr. Christian when he was in charge of Douglas Borough Council, was the main force behind getting the Summerland Memorial at the bottom of Summer Hill. But it's been there quite a while. Is that enough, or do you think there should be any more? John said, Howard's correct. It's easy to stabilise the rocks at Summerland, like Bulgan. Bolted netting is ubiquitous around the Alps, so they should just go ahead and get it done. Wilf's on now. Hi, Wilf.
Hi, it's just a little bit about the Summerland site.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, just my opinion. I was there that night, so I've seen all this. That's another thing. But the thing is, they should stabilise the cliff if it needs stabilising, but they should leave what's left of the Summerland project, the bits of concrete and things there, as a reminder. And there should be a memorial put up, but nothing ever built on that site apart from a children's playground to commemorate that, and nothing else done with it. Now, that particular night, I find it hard to talk about this because I was at the stock cars that night, and I just happened to be looking in the right direction, and I seen a little plume of black smoke going up. So I walked around the edge, and then I stood and watched it, and I wish I'd never done that, because I seen the place go up, and I seen the people pouring out, and I seen a lot of people, kids and what have you, in the top floor, and then as I was watching, it exploded, and all those people disappeared. And I'd wish I'd never, ever gone to look at it now.
Wilf, it's...
In my head forever now.
It's 51 years ago, and it's still in your brain.
I can't get it. Yeah, it's always there. Every time I pass that place, it reminds me of it, of that night. It's very hard for me to talk about it, because I've seen all those people die in a second. And I wish I'd never gone to look at it. But curiosity, you see. Seen that bit of black smoke going up, and I thought there's been a car crash or something on the promenade. So it was in between races after stock cars. And I walked around the edge wall and I got to the thing and I looked over. And then I seen all this going on.
So what do you think we can do then I'm not saying turn it round, that sounds a bit simple, but to do something, to kind of vindicate it, to do. You reckon a children's playground would help?
Definitely a children's playground to commemorate for all those kids that died that night. Well, I don't know what is there at the moment because I couldn't bear to stop and look to see what's going on. But somebody said about a plaque or something. But I don't know what plaque is there. If there isn't one there, one should be put there, a big one. Remember, and this, the government, our government is so good at wasting money on stupid projects. They all, all my life they've done it. And it was their fault it was built in the first place with this other glass that went up in flames. And they owe it to the people of the Isle of Man for to do that. And forget hotels and whatever and all the rest of it. That should be permanent thing to remind people of what went on. It should be a children's playground and parking for the for the parents' cars and all the rest of it. That's just my opinion.
Lots of people say, Wilf, we should move on. We should forget it.
No, you can't forget. I can't forget. I never will do. And of course, it must be far worse for anybody that had children or anybody that died in that. I can never move on from that. I've seen it firsthand.
All right.
And I wish I'd never seen it.
Wilf, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling today.
Okay.
Cheers now. 13 minutes past 12, 51 years, this coming August, 2nd of August 1973. The Summerland Leisure Centre went up, of course, previously. Before then, it had been the big project. It had been the big project to take the Isle of Man into the 1970s, once Derby Castle was flattened, and it was hailed. Lots of people absolutely loved it, felt it was the future. But of course it was flawed, it was fatally flawed with Auroglass, that transparent acrylic glass sheeting that either hadn't been tested or wasn't tested sufficiently. The street frontage part of the roof was Auroglass. And of course once it hit a certain temperature, it just went boom. Lots of people, in fact, you probably, if you're of a certain age, you'll know somebody like Wilf. Somebody who was either working. I know people who were working there that night. But what do we do? It sits there, a big hole at Derby Castle, just before Port Jack, doing nothing but remind us. So is there a way of vindicating that? Is there a way of cleansing us, if we were, of that? And doing something positive with it. Is the answer to get people living there? Is the answer to have, as Will said, to have a big children's playground, a massive children's playground, the best children's playground? Or should we move on and try and put it behind us? It's difficult, and everybody will have an opinion. And if you have something to say, then please do get in touch. We heard yesterday the lady saying that she would lie in front of a bulldozer if they were putting anything there apart from a reasonably sized, a commensurately sized memorial to the people who died. 50 people killed, 80 seriously injured. Cost a fortune at the time. And everybody thought it was the future. Sadly, the future was fatally flawed. Why can't the residents of Riantna Bay move now to the new building with the staff that they know and trust? It may be sold to a private care company. The old building isn't fit. The lift, plumbing and electrics don't work properly. A concerned relative, of course, Riantna Bay Albert Terrace, are moving to the new home, which will be run. I mean, it's still going to be in the hands of Manx Care. They'll still own it. The government will still own it. But it's going to be operated by a private company, much, I think, like the Salisbury Street care home is run, owned by government, run by a company. We are running short of care homes. We're just running short of care homes. It's the way much has been made about the falling birth rate. Much has also been made about the fact that you... We now have, because of medical technology and pharmaceuticals, people are living a lot longer than they used to live. So that's just a fact of life. Here's, let me see, we've got, it is Alan. Hi, Alan.
Hello there. I've never spoken about this before, but I was DJ at the Hawaiian Bar when the Summerland went up, and our customers either went to the Hawaiian Bar or the Summerland Disco, and there were so many phone calls coming in to us to ask our members there at the Hawaiian Bar or at Summerland, you know, to see are they safe and everything. So we closed the disco down earlier that night and told everybody to ring home and let their next of kin and friends and relatives know that they're safe. And when I walked out onto the promenade, of course, I saw all the ambulances and the fire and the police and everything going up and down the promenade, and the Summerland up in flames, and it was a terrible sight, you know. And some of our customers would have been at the Summerland disco that night, and we lost some of our regulars, you know, and that we knew well, and it was a terrible thing to have happened. And when I got home, I left to leave the promenade safe for the emergency services, and I drove home, and my family had the AdManx radio on, who were broadcasting about it live and keeping us in touch with everything that was going on. It was a very good program that they put on the spur of the moment, you know. And we had a call from Holland to see were we safe, because our friends there knew that we went to Summerland regularly, and it was a marvellous place to go to. Really enjoyed Summerland, you know. And we were able to tell them that we were safe and everything. But it was a horrible thing to have happened. And no matter whose fault it was, no matter who was to blame or anything, there should definitely be a good-sized memorial there at Summerland.
And as you say, Alan, many people at the time absolutely loved Summerland. It was a new world. I mean, you know, apart from the fact that obviously with hindsight we know it was flawed, it was a brilliant concept, a big multi-leisure centre. And, of course... You know, what happened. Now, as I say, nobody, no specific individual or group has ever been blamed. The deaths were attributed to misadventure. Do you have a view on that, Alan?
No, I don't. It was, I think the people involved who have lost loved ones there, they're the ones that have the opinion on that. It was just a terrible thing to have happened. And I don't attribute blame, really, because I wasn't there. I didn't experience it, but I believe that fire doors were chained, locked, and things like that. People couldn't get out. And that was a terrible thing for them to have experienced. But I don't wish to attribute blame to either the architects or designers or whatever. It was a terrible mistake to have put Auraglass there. And, well, that's what caused the disaster when that little fire went off. And it just engulfed the whole building. But the fact that 50 people died and so many people have been affected, I think there should definitely be a memorial there, and we should remember it as a disaster that the island will never forget.
Well, you were, as you say, in the Hawaiian Bar, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I was a DJ there.
So what was the mood like for the rest of that week? What was the mood of the island?
No, in the Hawaiian Bar, to the customers there, there was no change. The disco went on the next night, and people danced and enjoyed themselves. You know, it wasn't apparent about the disaster. But in years to come, I mean, it's many years ago now. What is it, 50-something years?
51 years.
51 years. You know, it's looking back at it with hindsight, it should really be remembered. And there were people that were affected. They knew people who had died there, and there should be a memorial there. It shouldn't be built on.
Okay. Alan, I really appreciate you calling today. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. 21 minutes past 12. The death toll brought a public inquiry. It ran 1973 to 1974. As I mentioned, no individuals or groups were ever blamed. The deaths were attributed to misadventure, although the delay in evacuation and flammable building materials were condemned. So how do we move on from here? What do we do? There's obviously a legal company that's been engaged, and I think they want to reverse the misadventure ruling. And again, what's the other side of that? We don't know. We don't really know what it is that they want. I just wonder what your thoughts are. Many people were involved in that night, and we all know them now. We all know the people who will be in their 70s and 80s. A lot of people were in the emergency services as young officers and nurses, ambulance drivers. Also, there were the coroners who were involved and the medical professionals who had to supervise the inquests. It was a horrible time, and one that the island almost had blotted out through history, but it has resurfaced with us now, obviously, with the 50th anniversary. So is there a collective way out of it, if you like, that we can... Is there any redemption in this that we can deal with, or is it just something that we should just say, well, move on, build something else there, and that will be that? Mark with us now. Hi, Mark.
All right, fella, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Right, just a quick one. I was at Williston Primary School at the time of the Summerland Fire. We went on a week-long trip to Belgium. And when we were coming back on the ferry, we could see the thing burning from the ferry. And when we docked, the ferry docked, we were literally all ushered home as quickly as possible by the teachers and what have you. Nothing was explained to us as what was going on. But when I got home to my grandmother's, there was a big news item on the television, and they were talking about the Summerland thing live.
So what are your memories of that?
I remember seeing that you could tell straight away it was Summerland, because there was basically only Derby Castle over that far end of the promenade and the tram place, but you knew straight away it was Summerland because it was so high. And the one thing I remember the most is the blackness of the smoke. And even at 11 years of age, or 10, or however old I was, and even back then, I had the sense to think, well, anyone stuck in that's not getting out. And it was a couple of days later we found out what the death toll was. And, you know, as an 11-year-old, 10-year-old kid, the first thing you think of is, I went there every single weekend. But because I was in Belgium this particular week, I wasn't there. And you go through life thinking, what if, what if, what if, what if? But I think the reason I'm giving you a buzz at the moment is because when a competitor in the TT dies, they give a verdict of misadventure. And that what the misadventure verdict says basically is, he knew the risks, she knew the risks, and they still took part. It's sad they died, but they knew the risks. Who knew the risks when they went into Summerland? Did anybody walk into Summerland on the day of the fire thinking, do you know what, this place could burn down and I could die? No, it should have been unlawful killing. And I will, to the day I die, I'm 62, 63, near enough now, I will continue to argue it should have been unlawful killing.
So what do we do? What does the island do, Mark?
We can't do anything. The people who were responsible have all left us now. They've all gone. There's nobody around. And to start blaming this person, that person's estate, achieves nothing. What we need to do is learn and leave it as it is. It's a horrible sight, but it's a poignant sight. People who go past there that know what it's there for know that's where 50 people lost their lives unnecessarily, and put a garden of remembrance. And of course, I can't speak highly enough of what Will said, put a children's play area there. Let's have a bit of giggling, a bit of laughter, a bit of, oh, I've fallen and scraped my knee, striking and crying. Let's have some joy on that sad sight. And the woman that said about the bulldozer, if she wants to give me a ring, I will come down and I'll chain myself to the bulldozer with her.
Mark, we appreciate that. Thanks for being
with
us.
You're welcome, my friend. Have a good day.
Good to hear from you. It's, 26 minutes past 12. So if you've got any thoughts, then by all means, do get in touch with what's the best way to commemorate the Summerland site, as Mark said. Horrible, dreadful. The people went into that building to enjoy themselves, and 50 of them didn't come out. 80 were seriously injured. 50 died. 80 were seriously injured. So what should we do? I'll draw a parallel, if I may, and that is the Solway Harvester and the actions of Donald Gelling and his administration. When the Solway Harvester went down, we paid for it to be brought back to the surface. The UK government would have treated it as a grave, a death at sea, a sea grave. But we brought it back to the surface. Do you remember? It sat for a long time in Douglas Harbour while they were deciding what to do with it. Well, the Isle of Man paid for it. It was about £1 million to bring it back to the surface and to get the bodies out, and the bodies were repatriated to Scotland. And everybody universally agreed it was the right thing to do. And the Isle of Man made so many friends around the world for doing the right thing. So is there a right thing to do for Summerland, do you think?
You see us at festivals. You see us at the races. You see us everywhere. Because we are St John Ambulance, and we are proud to be a Manx charity. St John Ambulance volunteers help the people of the island when they need them the most. That's why all profits made from our commercial training go straight back into supporting our volunteers and providing opportunities for children from 5 years old to develop life-saving skills. For more information on how you can help, call 674 387.
Ellen Van Infuels promotes road safety and would like to thank their customers for their understanding about restricted access and deliveries on and around the TT course during this year's festival. Safety first with Ellen Van Infuels.
Look, a yellow beetroot.
Surely not.
And a purple carrot.
I've never seen that before.
And we grew them ourselves at school.
For the third year in a row, KPMG and Manx Radio have joined together for the Rainbow Allotment Project, giving primary school children the opportunity to have fun while learning about growing produce and sustainability.
Not just ordinary vegetables. We grow colourful veg in all shapes and sizes.
All different, just like us.
The best thing is watching the seeds grow.
Working with primary schools across the island, the Rainbow Allotment provides planters, compost and seeds so kids can get growing.
The Rainbow Allotment Project with KPMG and Manx Radio.
Once upon a time, when slower motorbikes raced around the island...
There was no Manx Radio in those days, of course.
What? Well, we soon got that fixed.
We are Radio TT.
And then there was no stopping us. We could bring you stories of amazing dedication.
I have actually spent 300 days standing outside the Highlander pub.
And riders who'll risk everything for that podium finish.
One guy last year was off work for 3 days with a broken flask.
I'm back in the Manx Radio archive room again, browsing the shelf marked Tourist Trophy, and I'll be waiting at the door to welcome you in tonight, right after the 6 o'clock news, looking at the TT Festival in years gone by. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to close the door. These exhaust fumes get everywhere.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. 12:30, spot on. Thank you, Steve. The people who are against assisted dying, why don't they just simply opt out of assisted dying if they're against it? We've talked about assisted dying for the past few days as well. You heard that brave and emotional call from Karen a couple of weeks ago, who was terminally ill. The bill is for people like her, and that's who we should listen to. How anybody else, says Steve, his word, arrogance, to suggest that they have the right to deny Karen her voice is beyond me. There was a fantastic call from Sue the other day, very brave, 100% right to call out the misinformation which people will unfortunately believe, says Steve. Well, it's their opinion, Steve, because it's repeated so often by the same people. It is opinion, Steve, that's all I'll say. People do voice their opinion. They may say it's their fact. When somebody reads something and then voices it, that will become their opinion. It's not a kind of academic lecture. But we take your point. If people are against assisted dying, they should let the legislation come in and then opt out of it. And Gary's with us. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Yeah.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about Summerland. I was there that afternoon, when Summerland went on fire in the evening. I'm a prom kid. I was always a prom kid. And you could buy a season ticket, a weekly season ticket. So a lot of the prom kids whose parents had hotels, we spent an awful lot of our summer there. I left there at 5 o'clock that afternoon. It always went deathly quiet when tea time, when the hoteliers had dinners and visitors went back to the hotel. And then it started picking up again, 6:30, 7 o'clock, horse trams were dropping people down at the Derby Castle, and then it filled up again. Now, that night, I was supposed to be there, and I had a dancing lesson. I ballroom danced, and I went to the dance class instead of going to Summerland. But when I left the steps of the hotel, I could have either turned right or left, and I was quite a belligerent little sod, and I turned right and I went dancing. I didn't go left and go to Summerland. But it could have been completely different for my life as to now. And I had an idea a few years ago about how they could commemorate Summerland by creating a living wall. I know they can't get rid of the infrastructure of the concrete into the rock, but they could shave it down. You throw a very heavy, sort of like it's a tarpaulin over the rock with alpine plants that are growing through it, also filled with LED solar lights. So at night, the wall would become a living rock. They put grass down and a children's play area. So you would see that living rock, a bit like you see the poppy up on Douglas Head. You would see the living rock down that end of the promenade changing colour constantly at night to remember people. And I did pitch it to a couple of MHKs, but it never went any further. And I just think that if people had a little bit more imagination and a little bit more thought, that could be a really reflective space. And I think it would look really nice. That's my opinion.
Well, we make a virtue out of it, really. We do something that's kind of commensurate with the way that people think and feel.
Yes, indeed. Hmm.
And do you think then that is there any room in your opinion there for building flats or anything
no,
and putting anything
no.
there apart
no.
from that?
No, there's enough flats on the prom. There's empty sites. The old Imperial, which is my dad's hotel, still empty. You know, no, there's no need for flats. A living wall, children's play area, maybe some pop-up cafes, coffee shops in the summer. I mean, there's. We're still in tourism. We've still got a guest house. You get hordes and hordes of people going down the ends of the promenade to get on the electric trams. There's nowhere to get a coffee in the morning, you know, when the cruise liners are in. And I just think that would make a lovely memory, you know, and people would see it at night. And I've seen it done in other places. It's done in Torquay in a place called Rock Walk. You know, and once the initial outlay of the tarpaulin and the alpine plants, they take over the wall. They would hide the rest of the ugly concrete, and at night the solar lights would come on and change colour.
Gary, how often do you think about that fateful right turn?
I think about it once a week, at least once a week. And every time I walk past there, I think, what a terrible memory. For the people who are still alive, I mean, it, just to be left as it is, you know. And there's a lot of, I'm 63 now, and a lot of my school friends, we all went, my cousins went, my cousins' parents all had hotels, and we loved Summerland, we loved it. We never thought about the danger, obviously, as the gentleman said before, we never thought about the danger, we just went there and we had a good time, you know. And when I walked out of that hotel that evening at 6 o'clock and I turned right, and I went up Broadway to dancing instead of left to Summerland, and I really didn't know when I left home which I was going to do. I'm just thankful I did, you know. But I think for people that we've lost and for the memory for those families, I think a living wall would be a perfect sort of fitting tribute to them.
Okay, appreciate that. Okay. Gary, thanks for calling today.
Okay, no worries.
Good to hear from you. Thank you. It's Eddie with us now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, are you all right?
Yes, thanks, Eddie.
Yeah, I think everybody involved with the Summerland has got certain types of memories from it. But if I can just let you know that there's 23 workers who worked on Summerland who were, well, some of them were traumatised. I wasn't quite traumatised, I'm a realist, but one thing that really gets us is we were involved in the inquiry about it afterwards as well. And some of our evidence was definitely ignored. And when you look at everywhere else in the world at the moment, the whole thing, the whole Summerland fire was probably caused by the same reason, which is greed. I mean, is it, what was that, Towers in London? Is it Grenfell?
Yep.
Yeah, well, the Grenfell Towers, again, it was cutting corners, greediness by the companies. They knew what was fireproof and what wasn't fireproof. On the Summerland, nobody was done, and yet we gave loads and loads of evidence in the inquiry why this should have been done. Lomases, the building inspectors, everybody knew that the glass, the aura glass, went up in flames dramatically, and yet it was left undone to the public. A lot of us who were involved in the inquiries really get upset that we should have done more. We should have actually said something. A bit like Wilf.
Eddie,
feel
I mean,
sometimes.
Eddie, do you think now, after 50, 51 years now, is there any merit in seeking to apportion blame?
I think, yes, there would be. I think it's a bit like, you know, the Liverpool supporters. They feel as though they've got an end to all the fighting that they've done for years, when now it's recognised that all the people that were killed at Hillsborough, so on. You get a feeling of, it's, you know, the fight has been worthwhile. It won't change the result, but when I actually think back about the Summerland, which is like one of your other regulars said, I think about it a lot. Whenever I think about Summerland or whether I'm down that end, I see it and I remember it. I remember the matchsticks the day after. But what I do remember is that an awful lot of rich people got away with murder. That's my words. They got away with murder. It's the way of the world at the moment. I mean, you know what I'm like with this. The more I find out about all these big companies, they're all very corrupt, and they get away with absolute anything they want to. You look at the post office at the moment, it's the same. But the government are compensating those people. All the people that were involved with the Summerland should get justice. So that's my thought on it.
Okay.
And as a memorial, I don't know, actually. It's just one of them things.
All right. Thanks for that, Eddie. We appreciate your call. And, Tina's with us. Hi, it's Tina Brennan. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Andy. Yeah, nice to speak to you. Can I just say, please, a huge thank you to all of those gentlemen who have just spoken. Their stories were quite emotional and very heartfelt. And it does take, I know, a lot of courage to come forward and actually recount what happened to you on that night. So thank you very much to them. The gentleman with the idea of the living wall, what a fantastic idea. I think it's brilliant. It just it's perfect. So if you want to get in touch and if you'd like to discuss it with me, that would be great. It's 424-806.
Okay, 424-806. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. And likewise, the gentleman who said he would chain himself with me to the bulldozer. Great, bring it on. That would be
so
wonderful.
Tina, how do we move on then? What would you see as redemption?
Okay.
What
yeah.
would you see as progress? What would
okay.
you like to see happen?
Yeah, well, I'm part of the Justice for Summerland campaign. What we would like to see is an overturn of the death by misadventure verdict and a substantial memorial on that site, proportionate in size to this huge, huge tragedy. And this tragedy at the time, and still does, it resonates around the world even today. It's used as a teaching tool in places like Canada, America, in fire departments as to what not to do in a public building, even today. So this is current. It's not over and done with. There's no line to be drawn under it. This will be moved forward. Now, Mr. Cannon, last year at the time of the 50th anniversary, when we said we would like to have an overturn of death by misadventure, which is a perverse verdict to give to 50 people. He said, yep, but you will need to have fresh evidence for a new inquiry to be held. We've got fresh evidence, and I can't say too much about it at this point. We have a top-flight human rights lawyer involved. We will bring it to the Isle of Man government, and this is a whole can of worms which is to be uncovered with what we've discovered.
Okay. Tina, I'm going to ask you a direct question here, and this has been asked, people have asked me to ask you this as well.
Yeah.
Is it money you're after?
Me, personally, no.
No, I mean, do you think, is it compensation? Is it recompense? What exactly is it that you would like for the people who died at Summerland?
One word, justice. That's what we would like to see, is justice, to be seen to be done. Because it wasn't at the time.
Yeah.
It wasn't. To put in an inquiry report, which that inquiry commission sat for 49 days... That's all they sat for. And the gentleman who said he had evidence to bring and it wasn't listened to, that's pretty widespread from what I've heard from other people as well. There's loads of evidence which wasn't brought forward. And to say at the end of that inquiry commission report, when it came out, there are no villains here, is really a slap in the face for all of those families who lost family members.
Right.
And they still feel strongly about that today. And that's what we're working towards, is to get justice. And also, the second thing we want is a memorial on the site.
Right. So what do you think would be a suitable memorial of this? Bearing in mind, I mean, that site is huge, absolutely huge. So what
it's
do you think?
It's almost 3 acres.
Yeah. And of course, it's very high as well. So what do you think should go there?
A memorial. I have a plan for a memorial, and it incorporates 17 stones, standing stones, in a concentric circle. One stone for each of the families, each of the friends, and the colleagues who were working in Summerland that night, 17. And also, along with that, an information centre, which will give all the information about the Summerland site, that side of the Douglas Prom, which is fascinating history. And I have an exhibition, which I held last year, which was very well received at Loch Promenade Church, which I'm hoping to put on again this year, if anybody's interested in coming. It will be widely advertised if we do manage to get the site we want to hold it. So that exhibition would go into that information centre.
At what point, Tina, will your mind be settled? What needs to happen for you to be content and to be able to face the future without this weighing on your mind?
Well, I've been 11 years campaigning for this now, so I'm kind of used to it, you know. It is harrowing. I found it very harrowing at first when I started off, because of the stories that were coming forward. It was like a tsunami because people knew what I was doing. So a lot of the focus was on me, and I don't mind that now. But what I would like to see ultimately, like I say, is a memorial on the site, justice for the people who have family members killed, and justice also for all those people who were injured. There was over 80 people injured in that fire. So justice for all of them, and for the Isle of Man government to take this seriously, because they haven't up to now. They haven't took it seriously. I've been to so many heads of DOI over these years, and they've said, yeah, we like it, we love this plan, etc., etc. Nothing happens. This is the point where this is going to be taken forward to the government, and they will take it seriously. This isn't going to be a local issue. This has got UK-wide interest. We have a lot of backing from ITV, and particularly Josh Stokes, who's the ITV reporter here in the Isle of Man. They are with us step by step in this campaign. They want to be there. It will be broadcast on ITV and other channels as well. So people have to be prepared that this is going to get messy. There's a lot of new evidence that we are going to bring. which wasn't brought out at the time.
And when do you think this is going to happen? What's your timetable?
We're in the hands of the legal team at the moment, so we'll go by what they are saying. So, yeah, it's just going to evolve as it goes along. That's what happens. We've sent a letter of intent to the Attorney General to let him know what we are doing and how we intend to take this forward. We've received a reply saying, basically, thank you very much, just a holding letter. So now we have got a route map, thanks to the lawyers, so we will take that forward.
Tina, we appreciate that. So you'll keep us up to date with what's happening, will you?
I'd love to, yeah.
All right. Thanks.
I'll come up and have a chat with you if you like, Andy. Oh, I don't mind.
We'll certainly do that. It's, as I say, going back to things like the Solway Harvester, the Isle of Man government did palpably the right thing with the Solway Harvester.
Well, that was Donald Gelling, and he was absolutely right to do that. It cost us money, and this Summerland inquiry will cost us money. A memorial will cost us money. But Andy, this is a debt outstanding for 50 years. And it's time it was repaid.
All right.
And it will be repaid.
Thanks, Tina. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, can I just say one further thing?
Go ahead.
Thank you so much to everybody who has given their support to us on the radio, etc. It's really appreciated. So thank you.
Okay. Thanks for being with us, Tina.
Lovely to speak to you. Thanks a lot, Andy.
Okay, it's 13 minutes to one on regarding Summerland, says WhatsApper 328. Leaving the land blank, I think, is a terrible idea. Future generations won't know as to what happened there. They'll just see it as ruined land or an empty park. Putting something of purpose there will ensure that the people who died will be remembered. The roundhouse building would have worked as a Summerland Memorial Centre, I think, says that WhatsApper. Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just as a thought, I was listening to your programme, was coming home. The chap that was talking about the memorial, the flower, the plants and the rocks, etc.
Yeah.
The original concept was incorporated within the Summerland buildings. The man who had the idea behind it was the park superintendent of the Douglas Corporation, Eric Coward. And he was there for many, many years. He was also involved with Summer Hill, because that was a job for the winter work scheme. But his idea was exactly what that chap was proposing, a wall of plants. And that was going to grow naturally inside the building. The trees growing in naturally, and the wall had been done in such a way, the rock face had done in such a way that plants were going to naturalize in there. So that wall of plants is not new, but it is a good idea. So it was destroyed, obviously, in the fire, the original one, but a wall of plants, a living wall. And that is something that will help, and nature will look after that, except it's rather a desolate area, particularly in the winter, and there will have to be specific plants to go in there. But nature will look after that. And that chap, as he said, it would be a good idea, particularly if it was at one end and you could have something else on the rest of the acreage.
Okay.
But that was Eric Coward that was involved very much with the design inside there for the living plants, etc.
Okay.
And that was... Okay.
I appreciate that. Thanks for that. Let nature take its course, as it were. Thank you, Howard. Good to hear from you. Phil dropped a note in and just said, what happened at Summerland was a tragedy, and I, as a kid, stood behind it as the fire was in full force. But isn't it time we moved on and developed the site, but have a large memorial area? As it stands at the moment, it's an eyesore and a constant reminder of what went wrong. But life goes on, and we shouldn't be living in the past, says Phil. I'm not suggesting forgetting anything about the disaster, certainly not the deaths, but just stop the area looking like a bomb site and build some remembrance into that. Quite what we do, quite how much it costs. No doubt there will be an inquiry. No doubt there'll be a consultant's report. But Think of how much the Liverpool landing stage went over budget. And just think again about Donald Gelling, our Chief Minister. When we did the right thing, when the Isle of Man did the right thing over the Solway Harvester, and nobody could point at us. It wasn't even our responsibility. And nobody could point at us and say, ah, but the Isle of Man did nothing, because we did. And all those people involved in the Solway Harvester, the families of the people who died, the men who died on the Solway Harvester, will always have the Isle of Man in their heart because we did the right thing. So I'm asking you, what is the right thing to do about the Summerland site?
The Loganair Summer Sale is now on. Fly from Isle of Man Airport and save up to 15% off over 1 million seats across the Loganair network. Book by the 5th of June, travel from the 28th of June. Subject to availability, exclusions apply. Visit loganair.co.uk. Loganair, your journey, our joy.
Want a holiday from your mobile bills? Switch to Manx Telecom and get 3 months free. If you're new to Manx Telecom or want to upgrade from pay-as-you-go, sign up to one of our new Go Roam mobile tariffs. Enjoy unlimited data at home and up to 20 gigabytes of inclusive roaming data abroad. Sign up in store or call 624 624 today to get on board. See mt.im/gobig for details, terms and conditions.
Helmets are on and engines are revving, which only means one thing. The new season of the TT races is heating up. And no matter if you're at the track or in front of the telly, Tesco can help you fuel the fun. Choose from our range of ready-made snacks and drinks, prep for a picnic with our deli selection, or get ready for a grill up in the garden. So, put the pedal to the metal and visit your local store before the action starts. Tesco, every little helps.
Do you know a scrap man? Cause I've got scrap to clear. Causing copper brass and lead, and I need cash for beer.
What? You don't know a scrap man? Gastains of Foxhall is the one for you. Gastains will take all scrap metal and is also licensed for dry cell and lead acid batteries. So don't delay, ring 801-337 now.
So now we know a scrap man and all our scrap's been cleared. Ring 801-337, then have cash for beer. Call Costains today and get yourself a beer.
May Tynwald was a relatively brief and uncontroversial affair, but even with a light order paper, there were still a few items of interest. Some members expressing righteous indignation over Tynwald's unwillingness to suspend its standing orders, while others dismissing this as a storm in a teacup. And what's really happening in Peel, with apparent contradictions between submissions to the North West Plan and public statements by the commissioners? Find out on Perspective this Sunday at 12 noon on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. Is Council of Ministers trying to keep secret information which should be in the public domain, or is the new policy alliance just making political mischief?
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for dropping by. Regarding Summerland, when we moved over in 1999, there was a building in the site. Of course, people seem to have forgotten that, but there was that smaller Summerland that got built and has subsequently been knocked down, as the bits in the cliff relate to that building, not the building that burnt down. I agree the site needs to be sorted out, so let's have a children's playground, as it is so needed, said Cyril Lee, although, as Howard does say, it does get very windswept in the winter, but there we are. Regarding Summerland, says Helen, there's a good saying, justice delayed is justice denied. As it was rebuilt, says Bill, and knocked down with a promise to rebuild it, all the government's done is what they usually do, nothing. Rebuild with a memorial garden as part of it. My eldest had great fun, says Bill. Many people did, and many people talk about the fact that Summerland really was the bee's knees where that was concerned. It had the fatal flaw. And it wasn't helped by, as somebody mentioned, the fact that some exits were locked on the night to stop people going in rather than getting out, stop them getting out. But quite what we do with it and quite where the impetus is going to come from, then, well, we'll see. But I appreciate it. I appreciate your thoughts today, because there was a feeling that the Summerland disaster was kept under wraps. It was held. It was a guilty secret for much of the Isle of Man for many, many years. Maybe now is the time, possibly since the 50th anniversary, where people can talk about it, can tell their feelings, can get rid of those feelings and tell everybody else how they felt. There are many, many people, and I know, certainly now I've met them, people who were in the emergency services who were horribly traumatised by what they saw that night and carry those memories with them every day. You probably know somebody, but you may not. They may not have told you, but there were many, many. Certainly one of the GPs who was involved in the... because obviously the bodies were taken to what's now Bar George. It was the church hall for St. George's. One of the GPs involved bought a brand new suit, to conduct the work that had to be done. And when the work was done, he threw the suit away, put it into the incinerator and got rid of it completely because he didn't want to be reminded of what had happened. Many people did some sterling work on that night and subsequently, but you kind of get the feeling we're not over it yet. Thanks also to... Oh, there was somebody who emailed in and said, I want to vote in the British general election. Well, you are a glutton for punishment, aren't you? Who can vote in the British general election? Well, I'll tell you who can vote. A British citizen living in the Isle of Man may register as an overseas elector if they meet the overseas registration criteria, providing they're a person who was previously registered to vote in the UK, either before they left the UK or as an overseas voter, or a person who was previously resident in the UK, including those who left the UK before they were old enough to register to vote. Applicants must register as an overseas voter, an overseas elector in respect of the address where they last registered to vote in the UK, or if they were never registered, the last address of which they were resident in the UK. If you want more information, you need to go to electoralcommission.org.uk and follow the directions. If you want to, why would you want to vote in the UK? Anyway, that's it. Thanks to Howie on the phones today. WINT.